This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at worldsweeper.com, and I'm fortunate to have with me Harry Ponder, who had the National Pavement Expo seminar, How to Write an Employee Handbook and Set Company Policy. Employee handbooks are one of the most important things you can have in a sweeping contracting and pavement business if you have employees, because it really does set the guidelines for what's expected at work, the do's and don'ts and so forth, and there are a lot of legalities that you need to make sure you have covered as well. Harry is the owner of Carolina Business Services and Training and has extensive experience through the North Carolina school systems, where he for years designed and presented seminars and training on this topic, so he's just an ideal candidate for this. Harry, thanks for joining.
Quite welcome.
Please, if you would, talk to the World Sweeper listening audience, and this is about evenly split between municipalities, where you have managers in city and municipal governments that run the sweeping programs and, of course, have fleets of sweepers and other folks that they have as employees, and sweeping contractors who might go from, you know, having their wife and their brother working for them to having many, many people and lots of equipment to deal with. So if you would, I'll just let you take it away.
Well, I over the years have found that many, especially smaller companies, and when I say smaller, I'm probably referring to companies with 50 employees or less, sometimes maybe up to 100, but mostly 50 or less, many of them are operating day-to-day without an employee handbook. And what we try to get them to do, also do private consulting in several areas, this being one of them. What I try to get people to understand is the handbook really serves three purposes. Number one, it actually serves as a protection for the company against some discrimination charges or unfair treatment charges, because it sets the guidelines that you want your company to operate under, the employees of the company. And the second thing is it gives the employees their expectations, what they know that the company is going to expect from them with regard to their everything ranging from their work hours all the way up through their to their conduct, things that they can do that would get them terminated, their disciplinary procedures, and things of that nature. And then number three, it also gives them what they can expect back from the company. That being in the form of you have a listing of your benefits, what it takes to be eligible for those benefits, what they have to do if it's, say, a benefit that maybe you have to earn your bonus, there's bonuses involved, and what you have to do to earn that bonus. At what level do you get what type of bonus and things of that nature. You spell all these out then from the very beginning in the handbook, and then you have then the employee knows from the very beginning what's expected of them, what they can expect back from the company, as long as they're employed there. And I think the companies, one of the problems a lot of companies have is they the biggest problem that they have is that they don't disseminate those policies to the employees or those handbooks to the employees in the proper way. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to cover in the seminars that I do. What they need in a handbook, how they put it together, and in some cases how to word it depending upon the different types of operations that we have. Taking into consideration everything that's involved, you know, is there a law in the state where they operate that would prevent them from doing something? You need to have those things in there as well. And write your book according to
And how would you find that out? Is that labor and industries?
It's generally labor, Department of Labor's within each state is one great resource. Mm-hmm. And in some cases the associations that they're members of will know in which states have different policies on different different issues. But primarily what you're looking at, mostly if you drop back and using the benefits as an example, those are more in-house what the company wants to give in the way of benefits, and how we disseminate that to the employees so that they don't feel like that they're being unfairly treated. If you look at the some of the legal issues of today that employees are bringing charges against companies, the biggest majority of the charges that are brought against companies today have to do with, I feel like I've been treated unfairly. And the only way I know to combat that is to take you to court.
Mm-hmm.
And so this unfair treatment issue, in many terms, is one of the biggest issues that we have. Now, we prevent that a lot of times by the use of an employee handbook, because it does spell out, if you've written it correctly, it does spell out what the company expects from you, assuming that they have written it within the guidelines of the governments, both state and federal. And there's no recourse on the employee then to bring any charges against the company. And if they do, if the company is following the policies that they have set, as they should, then the company is pretty well protected. That's where the protection part comes in, because they have disseminated what they want to, how they want the employee to operate, react, act, whatever, and it kindly sets the goal that everybody's playing on the same page now.
It strikes me that it would also be of enormous value to the management team and ownership team to keep up with that.
It certainly does. It forces them to do that, because what happens a lot of times, as different laws change, you know, management needs to go back and make sure their handbooks are up to date. And I tell companies that I work with in writing a handbook, make sure you review this thing periodically. Don't let it go 5, 6, 7 years before you ever look at it again. Just handing it out to every employee that comes in and never looking at it themselves. Because things do change. Laws get changed and new laws get passed, which should be added into the handbook, or at least some information about it or whatever. And, you know, and many of them think that because maybe a new law gets passed, they have to go back and totally destroy their handbook and rewrite the whole thing. Maybe not. Maybe they only have to insert one page.
Mm-hmm. And you've talked about some of the basics that should be in an employee handbook. Are there other things that, is there a basic outline of what should be in a handbook that is in every handbook, more than what you've already discussed?
No, I have talked about the basics, and that being things such as the expectations, conduct expectations, the work expectations, and that can be everything from the hours that you work, and you know, we expect you to be here on time, and your hours that you're going to be here, and when you take breaks and when you take lunch, and you know, those type of things. That's a lot of basic, and that can range all, you know, even to your dress code if you have one in your organization, mm-hmm. or things of that nature. Those are your basic stuff, but we can get into some specific things in a handbook as well, such as covering some of the laws that you have to disseminate, the wage and hour laws, for example, that you will pay a time and a half for over 40 hours and things of that nature. Because it's amazing, you find a lot of employees that don't know that. And they think, if I work 9 hours today, you owe me an hour overtime, whether I work tomorrow or not. But just keeping everything as it should operate in your business according to your expectations as management, but disseminating that expectation to the employees in such a way that they understand it and that they will accept it, follow it, and feel that they're a part of a team as a result of that, and there's no unfair treatment going on. And that's what the handbook can do for you.
And is this provided to a new hire before you actually sign them up, make sure they see it all, or how does that process?
What I generally tell companies to do is, when you hire a new individual, go through your hiring process, get to the point where you actually have hired the individual, and the day they come to work, or the day you tell them that they're hired and you want them to come to work on Monday morning or whatever, you can take a few moments and hand them the handbook. Tell them what the handbook covers, I don't mean every particular word, obviously, but you know, here are our company policies and regulations at this point. This is not a contract necessarily. This is just the guidelines that we use to operate our company by. Here's what we can expect from you. Here's what you can expect from us, and have them sign for that handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do not have them sign the handbook and give it back to you. They take the handbook, but have them sign a disclaimer that they, in fact, receive the handbook, and different companies word that in their mm-hmm. own language in different
sure.
ways, but it lets you have a written proof that they have a copy of that handbook in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And should they get out of line with any of the regulations that's in the handbook, they have no recourse to come back and say, well, I didn't get it, because you have a signature on file that they, in fact, did get it. Now, the responsibility of reading it is not the company's.
Mm-hmm.
That's the employees.
Should that be spelled out in that disclaimer?
You tell them that.
All right.
You know, and you probably say, you know, we're giving you the handbook. We expect you to read it. And you can actually put that in your disclaimer
mm-hmm.
that you are giving them they're signing for a handbook and with the intent of reading it.
Prior to their first day on the job?
That's up to them.
Okay.
That's up to them.
And are there any posting requirements or anything like that?
You have your regulations that have to be posted. You know, the posters that come from the federal government on the wage and hour, the Fair Labor Standards Act, and your local state regulations on work hours and things like that. And you can contact your Department of Labor to get those posters. There's several things you have to do, but a lot of states specifically have only one poster that covers all these things.
Ah.
So you only have to put up one big sheet on the wall. But you have to post it in a conspicuous place. You know, you can't put it around behind the wall, the third stall in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have it in a conspicuous place. Most companies will post these either on an employee bulletin board or in break areas, lunch rooms, cafeterias, whatever you want to call them. Where they know the employees are going to be, and that's okay. But you can't just have it stuck up in the front office and then say, oh, employees can't come to the front office unless it's an absolute necessity, because you're not making it accessible to everyone if you do it that way.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's all great information, Harry, and I sure appreciate you taking the time here after your seminar to provide this information to our World Sweeper listeners. What would you say, is there anything that I haven't asked, but what would you say as a wrap-up on this topic?
Well, I think the biggest issue that I'm finding as I consult with different companies on the employee handbooks is that I don't think the owners of businesses and managers of business a lot of times realize the legal ramifications that could crop up by not having one. And not having a policy and a guideline that you've got your company following and your employees following, you know, your company managers and your employees, that prevents any possible discrimination charges, unfair labor practice charges, things of that nature. And those are big issues today. We live in a comparative world. Everything we do, we look at those above us and say, did you or did you not treat me the same as my neighbor, my fellow worker, my coworkers? And this gives the guidelines that we want everybody in the organization to follow, and we have a recourse when they don't. The legal issues a lot of times can totally destroy a smaller company. As I told the class today, sometimes when you go into a court case where someone's brought a charge against your company because you didn't treat them the same as you did someone else, or at least they feel that you did, you may win that case, but you lose, because it may cost you $50,000 to fight the case, even though you won it.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue becomes, what would it have cost you? What would it have cost you had you not won it? By not having a document, as we talk about the handbook, that backs up what you say you were going to do should something of that nature happen.
Right.
And to me, that's one of the most important issues of having an employee handbook today.
And having it posted and having it signed.
Posting, and without having that signature, you might as well not have one, mm-hmm. because you can't prove you actually gave it to the employee. All the employee has to say is, I didn't get it. Yes, you did. I got your signature stating you did. And I don't recommend people using electronic signatures, because there is a, even though it's legal, there is a possibility that an employee can say, I didn't do that. Someone else did it for me. I did not get the handbook.
Right.
And it's going to be hard for you to prove that. But if you've got their signature on a piece of paper, in a document, in their file, you've got the documentation that you need to use as your defense in a legal case.
All right. Couldn't agree more. Well, we've been speaking with Harry Ponder, and he is the owner of Carolina Business Services and Training. They're located in Asheville, North Carolina. And Harry also does consulting for both local clients and those around the country on the topic of employee handbooks, as well as helping with business plans, financing programs, and general business operations. So his contact information is here, and if you're getting a bind or think you could run your operation a little more efficiently by having some professional help, don't hesitate to call. Thanks again, Harry.
You're quite welcome.